is Malcolm Ross of Joseph K. You're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
The Cara Historical Society was established in 2009. Our mission is to collect, study, interpret, and preserve the history of the town of Cara, New York, for the educational and cultural enrichment of present and future generations. We love to bring history alive through our programming, such as our Hometown Heroes banner program, our State of the Union dinners, our Victorian teas. Each teach history while having fun. Members receive absolutely free our quarterly journal, the Cara Herald, which is jam-packed with historical articles, pictures, and society news. Everyone, however, can access the Cara Historical Society's Facebook page, which is a treasure trove of Cara history and memories. It's easy to become part of our historical family. Call Sylvia at 518-821-3852 or email the Cara Historical Society at cairohistsociety@yahoo.com.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now. WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, July the 6th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Government watchdogs say both Pruitt and Wheeler are wrong for the EPA. Also on the Friday rundown, will some state elections focus on criminal justice and 100 years of migratory bird protections at risk? Topping our news, government ethics and watchdog groups, even some conservatives, are saying Scott Pruitt's resignation as EPA administrator is long overdue. Tramell Gomes has our report.
During his one-year tenure, Pruitt worked relentlessly to dismantle Obama-era regulations aimed at reducing pollution. But while most conservatives saw him as President Donald Trump's most effective cabinet member, he started to lose favor over misuse of power and spending a lot more taxpayer dollars than his predecessors on travel and security expenses. David Jenkins with Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship thinks Pruitt was never the right person for the job.
I don't see how anyone on the conservative side of the equation that's really a conservative and you know, understands personal responsibility and ethics, moral values, all those things. I don't see how anyone could be supportive of him after all the things that have happened.
Jenkins says now Trump should follow the lead of Ronald Reagan, who once was in a similar situation, by appointing someone who sees the value and mission of the EPA. The agency's current deputy administrator, Andrew Wheeler, a former coal company lobbyist, steps in as acting EPA chief until a permanent replacement is named. Environmental groups predict the Trump administration will continue its pattern of appointing the least likely candidate to head the agency. Kate Cook Schultz is director of U.S. PERG's Toxics Program and thinks the president should take time to really understand the purpose of the EPA.
Scott Pruitt has failed in the EPA mission to protect human health and the environment, and Americans are less safe today than they should be due to his poor decisions and leadership.
The Center for Western Priorities noted that the interim EPA administrator, Andrew Wheeler, has a track record of lobbying to reduce protections for public lands in the name of expanding uranium mining. Bloomberg reports President Trump is firing the biggest shot yet in the global trade war, imposing tariffs on $34 billion of Chinese imports, delivering on a promise to his political supporters. Bloomberg labels this the riskiest economic gamble of the Trump presidency and said it could spread as it enters a new and dangerous phase. China has vowed to hit back in kind on goods ranging from soybeans to pork. Modernizing the West Virginia sales tax is now possible due to a U.S. Supreme Court decision. It could help solve the state's budget problems. Dan Hyman tells us that includes help for the Public Employees Insurance Agency.
The Wayfair decision late last month means West Virginia can force internet retailers without a brick-and-mortar location in the state to pay sales tax, the same as in-state retailers. Ted Bettner with the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy says one study found Amazon had been able to dodge billions in sales taxes that might now be collected.
This is an issue of tax fairness. Treat online retailers that are out of state the same as they treat brick-and-mortar stores in our communities. And not only would that make our tax code more fair, it would also bring in about $50 to $100 million.
Most estimates are that PEIA needs at least a steady new $50 million a year. But applying the state's 6% sales tax more broadly to include online sales would require the legislature's approval, and the governor has said it might be considered a tax increase, which he is likely to oppose.
And what role will criminal justice reform play in South Dakota's elections this year? Eric Tegedoff reports the ACLU says it should be a top issue for candidates.
The group is launching its Smart Justice campaign in the Peace Garden State today, pushing for a bigger focus on crime's connection to mental health, addiction, housing, employment, and education. Libby Screen with the ACLU of South Dakota says criminal justice shouldn't be about harsh sentencing at all cost, and that this election could be the criminal justice election.
Because our criminal justice system is so huge in this country and is such a big part of our state government, people really should be paying attention to these issues and how they affect communities and the state as a whole, as well as individuals.
The ACLU of South Dakota is also pushing for the state to reclassify ingestion of a drug from a felony to a misdemeanor. The South Dakota Legislature Research Council estimates that would save the state more than $6 million a year in prison and jail costs. And finally, Catherine Davis Young reports this week marks 100 years since the signing of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, or MBTA, and conservation groups want the Trump administration to respect and enforce that law.
Signed in 1918, the law made it illegal to pursue, hunt, take, or capture migratory birds. Last December, the Interior Department rescinded Obama-era guidelines on prosecution of companies when their operations cause bird deaths and issued new ones that don't prosecute companies unless they intentionally put birds under human control. Bob Dreher with Defenders of Wildlife says that leaves industries without any liability for bird deaths they cause.
They don't have to do anything in order to avoid the killing of migratory birds, even though they know that it will occur from what they're doing, and even though there may be reasonable and cost-effective things they could do to avoid killing birds.
Defenders of Wildlife, the National Audubon Society, and several other environmental groups have filed a lawsuit to challenge the rule changes. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts rain on Friday with a high near 79 and the humidity breaking in the afternoon. Friday night then should be mostly clear with a low around just 51. Saturday should be sunny with a high near 75 and a low around 54. And Sunday should be sunny with a high near 80 and a low around 61. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported Creative Community Radio.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Daniel Zuckerman is reporting for Columbia Green Media. A public hearing on a Cairo zoning law amendment turned heated on July 2nd. The discussion involving residents and town board members focused on the Main Street Commercial District Amendment intended to fill storefronts in the business district. The amendment would require owners of buildings that formerly housed a business on the ground floor to maintain the first floor for commercial use. Cairo Town Supervisor Daniel Benoy said the amendment would require owners of buildings that formerly housed a business on the ground floor to maintain the first floor for commercial use. He said, and I quote, "If you believe Main Street can be brought back again, then this is a mechanism to foster that type of development," end quote. First-term Councilman Jason Watts opposed the amendment as written, arguing that it restricts what owners can do with their property. And Watts said, "It has taken far too long for development to occur." Watts said, and I quote, "What about the people who own the land? Why are we restricting people?" End quote. Foundation co-president Sherry True said, "The Cairo Development Foundation's mission is to restore Main Street to attract offbeat eclectic shops that would give Cairo an identity." She said, "We have no identity here in Cairo, and nobody seems to want to identify who we are. This has been going on for years and years," end quote. Benoit said the town's 2017 zoning law was simplified to be more business-friendly and commercial and industrial areas were expanded, but large-scale industries have not taken the bait. "The town is at a disadvantage. It cannot attract large-scale industrial development without the water or sewer infrastructure those enterprises need." Benoit said the board tabled the resolution to adopt the law until August. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Peter Flyrell is reporting in the Columbia paper that the steeple of the Alsillage Town Hall is rotting. It may cost $15,000 to $18,000 to reconstruct and repair the town steeple, the story says. Fortunately, the town has extra money on hand, and the steeple will stand. Alsillage is also spending $95,317 on curbing and paving at the town hall. The Alsillage Pound Board meets next at 7 p.m. July 19th. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. On July 2nd, local congressperson John Faso's campaign manager, Tom Szymanski, demanded Faso's opponent state his position on whether the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency should be closed. And I quote, "Antonio Delgado's silence on this issue is disturbing. Mr. Delgado must immediately inform the voters of the 19th Congressional District if he stands with Mayor de Blasio, Kirsten Gillibrand, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Cynthia Nixon, or other fellow progressives on the loony left by wishing to abolish ICE. Voters deserve to know whether Mr. Delgado will work to abolish the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement," end quote. But WGXC could not find any statements about not abolishing ICE on Faso's campaign website or on his congressional website, so voters may be unsure about Faso's position on the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. Delgado, a Democrat, is now on record as he replied on Twitter July 3rd, saying he does not support abolishing ICE. Delgado's Twitter account said, and I quote, "Congressman Faso should feel free to contact me directly with his inquiries about my positions. I would be happy to exchange cell phone numbers so that he does not need his staffer to send out statements written by Paul Ryan," end quote. New York Senator Gillibrand has said she would like to, and I quote, "reimagine," end quote, the agency with a, and I quote, "very different mission. I don't think ICE is working as intended. I believe it has become a deportation force,
and I think it should separate the criminal justice from the immigration issues, end quote. New York's other senator, Chuck Schumer, has a significantly different opinion. He said, and I quote, ICE does some functions that are very much...
And now joining us on the Skype is Peter Warren, the acting chair of the Capital District Democratic Socialists of America. Peter, can you hear us?
Loud and clear, Tom. Thanks.
Oh, great. We can hear you loud and clear, too. Can you tell us what the Democratic Socialists of America is?
It's a national organization. It's not a political party. It's a political movement that involves political, social, and economic change. Nationwide chapters, we have a 9-10 county area, including Columbia and Greene, by the way. There's a chapter to the south of us, Hudson Valley, Democratic Socialists, a huge one in New York City, etc. It's been around for about, I think, around 30 years, from the 1980s, late 70s. Established by Michael Harrington, and things have been happening.
I guess last Tuesday, you guys got some national attention.
Yes, indeed. One of our comrades, a DSA member, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, did a massive upset on the boss of the Queens Democratic Party. We're still celebrating from that. And may I put in a plug here, Julia Salazar is running for state senate. She's also a DSA member. In the last round of interim elections, we had a lot of good news. We have a solid sprinkling of DSA members running for and winning public office around the country. And that's one facet of our operations. I think the New York City comrades really put together a great organization that and effort behind Ocasio-Cortez that sort of validates our strategy, and I think also the strategy of Bernie Sanders in the primary. That is, we don't take corporate contributions. That would be against our basic anti-capitalist orientation, so we don't do that. He didn't either. So we rely on the leverage of motivation, enthusiasm, good organization, good organizing principles, lots of volunteers, lots of shoe leather, lots of canvassing. And I think if you can do that to a very powerful Democrat, if Bernie Sanders had come as far as he did, there's a future for that sort of strategy. So we're, in fact, in our chapter, we've just established our electoral working group, and I think we'll probably try to go after some of the low-hanging fruit, local municipal offices. We have no money, you know, at this point, except for contributions. So we'll try to run people for municipal offices, county legislature, city councils that don't require a lot of funds to get in the game with. And I'm excited about that prospect.
And what are the major policy differences, I guess, you have with Democrats?
I think the big one is capitalism. We're explicitly anti-capitalist, and by capitalism I mean not the market system per se, but the huge concentration of wealth in the hands of private citizens, or groups like corporations, or the Chamber of Commerce, that is used for an exploitive and negative purpose. That is to take power and wealth and status away from working people and give more to themselves. So Democrats won't really go there. They will not really address that. I think the reason why so many of my comrades and the Capital District chapter and New York and elsewhere responded to this is because and joined the DSA is because of that difference. You know, Senator Sanders is not shy about talking about big banks. He was very frank about the fact that the billionaire class controls us, which it does, you know, politically. They bought the system. He was not shy about, you know, how these concentrations of power in the hands of a few and wealth in the hands of a few make a worse society and a worse outcome for all of us, for working people. So that's that. I think the Democrats right now, since a lot of their funding does come from these sources, from billionaires, from corporations, especially I think from the financial sector, they're kind of hung up like a cow in a barbed wire fence. They see the energy of our movement. They'd like to co-opt us. They'd like to have us under the big tent. They'd like to, and many other allied groups as well, Indivisible, Our Revolution, you know, our allies and partners in electoral politics and others. They'd like to have all that energy, you know, channeled to their benefit, but they can't go far enough because there's strings attached to them. Actually, ropes, I would say, chains. They can't go outside of that envelope and make the appeal that Sanders did because they're tied to those special interests. And that's I think, the major demarcation line.
Yeah, I was going to this is related, I guess. Do you see yourselves as sort of like the Working Families Party, a wing or related to the Democrats, or more like the Libertarians, someone who draws from both major parties?
Well, we're dedicated right now. National DSA has made, I think, a great decision. We're determined to set up our own electoral infrastructure. And that means in some cases we will ally ourselves and work within the Democratic Party's four Democratic Party Congresses. Ocasio-Cortez ran on the Democratic ticket. If we were to, oh happy day, run a mayoral candidate for Albany, for example, it probably would be on the Democratic ticket. However, that does not mean we would basically ally ourselves with them. And we also plan on, and I know our chapter is interested in this, and I all the other chapters are too, in running people as explicitly democratic socialists, as Ocasio-Cortez did, as Salazar did, as Lee Carter did in Virginia. So the whole idea, I mean, an aspirational goal, you know, would be we're going to have a socialist majority on the city council in Troy. May that day come soon, or in Saugerties, the town council. And these people will, they might draw votes from Democrats. I mean, there's only so far we can go as a 501c4, but we can certainly have people identified as our members run for office. And, you know, even though we're not explicitly a political party, we can make that happen. So that's the plan. And, you know, it's not, I think, strategically, we're not trying to split votes, and I knowing my comrades and national, we have not played that sort of spoiler role, so that reactionaries could win. But we do plan. Again, there's a fundamental difference between us and the Democrats. Fundamental, on the basic political level, we are not them, even though. And, you know, there's lots of things that you know, on LGBT rights and lots of other issues, we see eye to eye. Anti-capitalism is where we step off the train.
And some of the National Democrats have been criticizing the Democratic Socialists since the primary last week, saying that Ocasio-Cortez's politics wouldn't play in other parts of the country. But isn't that like saying John Faso's politics wouldn't play in Chicago?
Right. Right. I mean, look at Medicare for All. I mean, that's a national priority. That's a national campaign. We are out there canvassing for that. We just did this, this last weekend. That's a transformational reform, as we describe it, that's wildly popular wherever it polls. I mean, everybody. I just got my Medicare card, personally. Yay! that's something that could be tailored to whatever demographic you can think of, who's not completely reactionary.
Well, the Republicans are trying to cut Medicare and Medicaid, right? Isn't that their proposed budget?
Right, right. And good luck with that one. And I think that one of the reasons why I'm in DSA instead of on the more liberal, progressive, Democratic side is what I see as Democrats' inability or unwillingness to really come out forcefully and defend those things. I mean, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, these are some of the best things that progressive people have ever done for the American people. And they're very successful programs. And the idea, for example, that President Obama would want to offer up some sort of cuts to those programs in his grand bargain, it just horrified me. So I think Ocasio-Cortez's platform, Fight for 15, Abolish ICE, Medicare for All, those other things, I think could play in almost any urban area throughout the United States. And our chapter contains a lot of rural areas too in our 10-county region, we're willing to get our feet wet in terms of putting those out to rural people as well, who, after all, have been suffering. I'm from the Mohawk Valley. The Mohawk Valley is economically devastated. And neither party will really look at that and address it. You'd say Republicans, well, of course they wouldn't. They think that's fine. That's capitalism working the way it should, right? Those areas fall into rust and decay and the people become immiserated. That's business as usual. You'd think Democrats would have a different position on that, but they don't. President Obama came to Albany and he visited SUNY Nanotech. All well and good. He could have spent another 25 minutes coming to Amsterdam, New York, and seeing the consequences of neoliberal policies play out in front of him. It's an ugly sight. That town's distressed. There's lots of people, brown, black, and white, who are suffering. Working people are suffering as a result of deindustrialization and a lot of other stuff, as well as opioids and so on. Take a look at this. Get out of your car and walk around. Why would a Democrat not want to address that? So I think these are the sort of things that we believe passionately should be addressed. I think that our platform, it's a simple, it's a appealing platform to working people. We're excited and we're psyched about putting this out there and in the electoral arena, and we have a couple other legs to our stool as well.
And if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Peter Warren, the acting chair of the Capital District Democratic Socialists of America. Peter, do you have a website that people can go to for more information?
No website, but we are on Facebook. So that would be Capital District Democratic Socialists of America. We have a public-facing website, which you can find if you do a search there. We're working on a website, but our Facebook page right now is our main source of news to anybody who wants to show up, and we have a lot of interest.
And you mentioned the immigration issue a moment ago. There are, I think, about 200 migrants being held in the Albany County Jail right now. There is one 8-year-old child being held away from his parents in the Kingston facility. Do you think this is an issue that resonates locally or not?
It resonates strongly.
We could be so good together. Yeah, so good together. We could be so good together. Yeah, we could. I know we could. Invitation and invention. Yeah, so good together. Ah, so good together.
Good afternoon, folks. My name is Craig Moser. I'm here from Philadelphia. It's a wonderful street festival. And you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA.
Fridays on WGXC are made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of anonymous donors in Catskill, Germantown, and Hudson. Sustaining supporters like these are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties.
Desmarchand, a proud supporter of WGXC, is a men's and women's boutique featuring creative and classic clothing, shoes, and accessories. Now presenting our fall collections from European and American designers, Desmarchand.com, Desmarchind.com, on Warren Street in Hudson, New York.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load.
When you're tired of your toys and of your games and of the television, when you're done with chores and homework, then it's time to make a big decision. You might need a change of scenery. It might be time to go over mountains, over oceans, through dark jungles down below. On an airplane, on a railroad, on a tall ship with the tide, all you need's a little music. How's about it? What do you say we buckle up and go for a little ride?
Let's go everywhere, man. Let's go everywhere, man.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, man, with me you can ride. So I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, bud, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Been a... I wander everywhere.
I've been to
the... Ica,
Copic,
Cairo,
Catskill, Greenport, Claverack, Kinderhook,
Maryville,
Germantown,
London, Greenville,
Schoharie, Greene County,
Patrick, Ashland,
Chatham,
and East Durham,
Athens,
Haynes Falls, Hunter,
and, Coxsackie,
Preston Hollow, Oak Hill,
Ankrum,
Great Barrington,
Hawthorne Valley,
New Baltimore, and
Hudson, New York.
I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Turn it up louder so my deep
I've been to
Ica,
Copic,
Cairo,
Catskill, Greenport, Claverack, Kinderhook,
Maryville,
Germantown,
Windham,
Greenville,
Schoharie,
Green County,
Bradford, Ashland,
Chatham,
and East Durham,
Athens,
Haynes Falls, Hunter,
and, Coxsackie,
Preston Hollow, Oak Hill,
Ancrum,
Great Barrington,
Hawthorne Valley,
New Baltimore, and
Hudson, New York.
Life is a rock on the radio.
Ica,
Copic,
Cairo,
Catskill, Greenport, Claverack, Kinderhook,
Maryville,
Germantown,
Windham,
Greenville,
Schoharie,
Green County,
Bradford,
Ashland,
Chatham,
and East Durham,
Athens,
Haynes Falls, Hunter,
and,
Coxsackie,
Preston Hollow, Oak Hill,
Ancrum,
Great Barrington,
Hawthorne Valley,
New Baltimore, and
Hudson, New York.
I've been everywhere. I've been everywhere.
You're listening to the radio coming to you from everywhere. I'm Tom Rowe, and you're listening to WGXC, and it's our Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive. We're asking you to call 518-697-7400 or go online to WGXC.org and make a pledge to keep the radio coming to you from everywhere. At WGXC, in the past, you've heard live broadcast from local schools. From Chatham High School, from Hudson High School, from Cara Durham High School, from Catskill High School. You've heard live broadcasts on the radio from local restaurants on WGXC, from the Blue Plate in Chatham, from the Red Dot Restaurant and Bar in Hudson, from Dalton's Donuts in Cairo, from High Low in Catskill. You've heard live broadcasts on WGXC from parks around the region, Carrow's Town Park, the Oakdale Lake Park in Hudson, from Dutchman's Landing Park in Catskill. You've heard live broadcasts from local town halls throughout the area. Live broadcasts from Carrow Town Hall, from the Athens Town Hall, from the Hudson City Hall, from the Greene County Legislature in Catskill, from the Columbia County Board of Supervisors in Hudson. WGXC is everywhere in local libraries. You've heard live broadcasts from local libraries in Chatham, in Cairo, in Catskill, and Hudson. WGXC is everywhere at local farmers markets. You've heard WGXC broadcast live from the Hudson Farmers Market and from the Catskill Farmers Market. You've heard WGXC broadcast live from local businesses like the Spotty Dog Books and Ale in Hudson, like the Stair Gallery in Hudson, like Magpie Bookstore in Catskill. WGXC is broadcast from Reeder Bowers Resort in Round Top, from Stack's Pub in Cairo, from M&J's Hair Studio in Hudson, from the Hudson Lodge, from the Half Moon in Hudson, from Little Deb's Oasis in Hudson, from the Beverly in Kingston, from the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie, from the Catskill Community Theater, from the Cannonball Factory in Hudson. WGXC is everywhere, broadcasting from local nonprofits. You've heard WGXC broadcast from the Columbia Memorial Hospital in Hudson, from the Greene County Council on the Arts in Catskill, from Evergreen Hall Co-Arc in Valencia, from the Catskill Senior Center, from the Catskill Community Center, from the Hudson Youth Center, from the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, from the First Presbyterian Church in Hudson, and from Basilica Hudson. WGXC is everywhere, and we're asking for your pledge to keep it that way. Radio coming to you from everywhere. Please call 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate. That's 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate and make a difference to keep local radio coming out of your speakers, broadcasting from a variety of local locations where you can walk on the radio and talk on the radio. Please give us a call at 518-697-7400 to support local radio from everywhere locally. Support community radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Only you can keep the community radio coming out of your speakers by calling 518-697-7400 or going online to wgxc.org/donate. It's your big chance to make a difference in your community. Keep local voices on this soapbox. Keep the platform open for local discussion of local issues. 518-697-7400 is the number to call or go online to wgxc.org/donate.
I am Big Vern, Hud City, what's good with you? I got the boys in the house with me, and fellas, we are in the middle of the pledge drive, so don't start yet. Don't start it until I get this right, man. Let me do what I'm supposed to do here. Let's go.
So, I mean, you know, we usually only ask you guys for supporting and listening to our shows and the different programs that come on WGXC, but you know, when it's pledge drive time, we need you to kick in and support a little bit more than you normally do. So if you would like to hear us continue to be on the radio, continue to have great shows that are appearing right here on WGXC 90.7 FM, please donate. Any amount helps a lot. Doesn't matter. You're not locked into that. 518-697-7400, or you can go online to wgxc.org/donate. If you want to be gracious enough to get a tour of the studio and you want to do that in person, you can come to the Hudson studio. It's at 369 Warren Street on the 4th Street side, Hudson, New York, 12534. Or you can even mail your donations in to WGXC in care of Wave Farm, 5662 Route 23, Agra, New York, 12405. Pledge, pledge, pledge. Keep us on the air. Show your love and your support.
That's Ray. You did that, dog.
Appreciate you. It's been a minute since I did that.
Yeah.
Unhappy about something you heard on All Together Now? Or maybe you have a strong opinion about an issue. Energy, agriculture, the environment, the Common Core standards, or broadband access. Don't keep it to yourself. Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message, and we'll play it on the air. Leave a 3-minute message, 518-291-9492, with your take for all you hear. Again, that number is 518-291-9492. To leave a 3-minute message that may be played on All Together Now. Thanks for getting involved in your local community. All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties, is looking for contributors. If you have an idea for a regular or irregular segment, or if you want to interview the public at a local event or write stories for the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org,
send an email to info@wgxe.org. All together now. WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Graham. The heat wave, with several days in a row of temperatures in the 90s, should end July 6th. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts temperatures below 80 degrees during the day this weekend and in the 50s at night, after rain and a cold front pass through the WGXC listening area. Temperatures in the upper 80s may return next week, according to forecasts, but they should not be quite as hot. Labor Day was once said to be the beginning of the campaign season, but with a heated political environment, the election between freshman Representative John Faso, a Republican, and Democrat Antonio Delgado is already underway. Neither candidate lists local appearances in advance on their websites, but there were reports that they were marching in local parades on the 4th of July. Delgado showed photos on his Twitter feed of him in several parades, starting the day at the Hyde Park Independence Day Parade, where he marched with Assembly candidate Karen Smythe and others. Then he went to Oneata's hometown 4th Festival and ended the day at Windham's Parade in Greene County, marching with Assembly candidate Adrian O'Connor and others. According to social media accounts, Faso spent the morning marching in the Saugerties July 4th Parade. Godfrey Williams reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that Governor Andrew Cuomo's office says the Mid-Hudson Valley has the largest number of craft breweries in any region in New York. Right now, New York has 400 small breweries, more than the previous record of 393 in 1876. In the Mid-Hudson Valley, there are 65, a 491% increase from 11 breweries in 2012. But there are fears the craft brewing trend is a bubble that is about to burst. Across the country, 165 craft breweries closed last year, which was the largest number of shutdowns ever reported by the Brewers Association. Bart Watson, the chief economist for the National Brewers Association, said, and I quote, "I think we'll see a slowdown, but I don't think all of a sudden you're going to start seeing shutters. The current rate of openings can't last forever. That said, that doesn't mean there isn't room to grow," end quote. Currently, New York ranks 28th in craft breweries per capita, with 2.2 craft breweries per 100,000 adults aged 21 and up. Read the full story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather, public meetings, and more information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
It's unbelievable. Freaking believable. Unbelievable, that's what you are. Unbelievable, though near or far. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I'm unforgettable too. Unforgettable, that's what you are.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts rain on Friday with a high near 79 and the humidity breaking in the afternoon. Friday night then should be mostly clear with a low around just 51. Saturday should be sunny with a high near 75 and a low around 54. And Sunday should be sunny with a high near 80 and a low around 61. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported Creative Community Radio.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM community program schedule for Friday, July 6th, Tom Rowe starts the day in Acre with the WGXC morning show from 9 to 11 a.m. He'll be wrapping up the Radio Everywhere pledge drive. Jared Widgescoog is back in Hudson after the noon news headlines until 2 o'clock with the Sugar Shack Jukebox. Mark Bailey and Gregor Trieste will be live in Acre with the WGXC afternoon show from 4 to 6. And later on, after the news hour at 7 p.m., this week's guest DJ is Ken McCarthy of Tivoli. He'll be live in the Hudson studio from 7 to 9:30, followed by the Stoop Rock radio takeover with Tall Matt until midnight.
Tune in Saturday, July 7th for Transmission Art on the Radio with the Radiophrenia Redux show at 1 a.m. featuring Stephen Jones, Isabel Straglatia, and Alessandro Bassetti. Then Radio News in the morning with the Amateur Radio Newsline at 7 a.m. and Glenn Hauser's World of Radio at 7:30 a.m. followed by Radio Survivor at 8 a.m. Then there's a special holiday edition of Donald Trump Theater, This is America, at 9:05 a.m. after the local news on Wave Farm Standing Wave Radio and WGXC.
Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at wgxc.org, including some of these events.
Friday, July 6th, Twisted Pine String Band performs at PS21 in Chatham, 8 p.m. Also Friday, July 6th, The Spliffs, a Woodstock-based band, perform at 8 p.m. in Hi-Lo in Catskill, with a live web stream at wgxc.org. Friday, July 6th is also when Royal Jelly Jive performs at Club Helsinki in Hudson. Soul Jive and Gypsy Blues is the description of that band. 9 p.m. Friday, July 6th at Club Helsinki in Hudson. Saturday, July 7th, there's an Art Scouts program for students grades kindergarten through 6th at the Wasaic Project in Wasaic, New York at 10:30 a.m. Elliot Fisk and Yehuda Hanani perform at 8 p.m. at PS21 Saturday, July 7th. It's the annual Paul Grunberg Memorial Bach Concert, classical with classical guitarist Elliot Fisk and cellist Yehuda Hanani performing Bach cello suites at 8 p.m. Saturday, July 7th at PS21 in Chatham. Functions perform at Hi-Lo in Catskill Saturday, July 7th. That band includes Otto Hauser, Rachel Z, Jay Collins, Scott Petito, and David Gilmore. Saturday, July 7th, Red, White, and Indigo is at the Ankrum Opera House. It's a cabaret musical performance by Lady Rizzo, 8:30 p.m. Saturday, July 7th. The Nels Klein Four performs at Club Helsinki in Hudson. The incredible experimental guitarist Nels Klein, who also plays in Wilco, is at Club Helsinki in Hudson, Saturday, July 7th. Sunday, July 8th, Crazy Doberman, which includes members of Wolf Eyes and Doberman, perform at the Low Beat in Albany at 8 p.m. Sunday, July 8th. These events and more are online at WGXC Community Calendar, wgxc.org.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
Tommy Simpson from The Replacements now lives in Hudson. Here's Satellite from The Replacements, sung by Tommy Simpson.
Nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur, or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Agra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's WGXC.